Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some war veterans who thrust the President Robert Mugabe to the helm of ZANU-PF have withdrawn their support for the Zimbabwean leader.
Our expectation, the lofty goals for which people died, including the one man, one vote thing, is now being dispatched with that thing of history because of the institutionalized dictatorship.
Some Zimbabweans have rejected the Peace and Reconciliation Commission bill.
The bill must guarantee the independence of the commission as provided for by the Constitution on Section 235.
And Zimbabwe's land question remains a hot issue 36 years after independence.
As you may realize that these initiatives have been done mainly on party lines, and mostly those who are in the ruling party largely benefited. So me, I'm part of the majority of Zimbabweans who are yet to benefit.
For these stories and much more, stay tuned.
War veterans who were part of the group that signed the Mugagao Declaration in 1975, a document that thrust the President Mugabe to the helm of ZANU, say they are now withdrawing their support for the president. In the declaration, the war veterans passed a vote of no confidence in the then leader, Reverend Dabaningi Sithole. Mr. Mugabe, who was the ZANU Secretary General, replaced Sithole in what was widely regarded a coup. Some of the 32 war veterans that signed the declaration met today and stressed that they are withdrawing their support for President Mugabe. The group spokesman, Bernard Manyaza, who was head of military instructors, say some of them even contested the 1977 Special Congress, which claims to have endorsed Mr. Mugabe as the legitimate ZANU leader. Manyaza tells reporter Jonga Kanzemiri that though this may seem to be just academic, they know the president has already got the message.
That document took away the leadership of the party from Reverend Dabaningi Sithole to the then Secretary General of Zimbabwe African National Union, Comrade Robert Mugabe, with the view that as he leads the armed struggle, then the Congress to confer the presidentship would be done in Zimbabwe. But then the unfortunate development that happened was sometime in Mozambique in 1977, end of 76, there was a meeting that conferred him as the first secretary and president of ZANU, which was not very constitutional because the people who were supposed to have effected that on the constitution were supposed to be delegates, as was done in 1963. This was the genesis of this type of dictatorship, the institutionalized dictatorship they are calling one center of power, which freezes even the democratic space for the electorate because there is no decision without the one center of power interfering.
Some would argue that this is a matter of sour grapes because some of you may no longer be part of ZANU-PF. What's your reaction to this?
The grapes are not just sour, Kandemiri. They are very bitter. Because as I alluded earlier on, that our expectations, the lofty goals for which people died, including the one man, one vote thing, is now being dispatched with that thing of history because of the institutionalized dictatorship. So yes, I'm very bitter about that one. Why should we go against the basic tenets, the founding values of the struggle since the time of NDP when the clarion call was one man, one vote?
That was Bernard Manyaza, one of the disgruntled former freedom fighters, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. We were unable to get a comment from presidential spokesman George Charamba, whose mobile phone was unreachable.
In a related development, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says President Mugabe should step down for failing to properly run the country. Tsvangirai told students at the University of Zimbabwe today that President Mugabe's party is even failing to account for diamond proceeds worth $15 billion mined by various parties in Manicaland province. Tsvangirai's party is expected to stage street protests on Thursday over the missing diamond proceeds.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. We will also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out.
The question today is, when was ZANU formed? The answer to our question yesterday is Joshua Nkomo, Edison Zsobho, and Robert Mugabe. There were several other people who attended the Lancaster House talks.
Some Maswingo residents have rejected the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission bill in public hearings, saying it gives the state too much power to monitor and control commissioners. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
Residents of Good Growth Point and Maswingo Town yesterday and today rejected almost three quarters of the bill, saying it violates some provisions of Zimbabwe's constitution. The bill is designed to operationalize the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission. One of the people who rejected the bill was Lloyd Mufuze of Mushayavanu in Igutu.
The constitution provides that the commission reports to parliament and not to the minister. Clause 9 of the bill therefore limits the power of the National Peace and Reconciliation Commission and should be repealed. The bill must guarantee the independence of the commission as provided for by the constitution on section 235. The bill must not take away the commission's independence by giving the minister so much power that it infringes on the independence.
Charlotte Gano of Maswingo Town echoed the same sentiments, adding that the bill was silent on issues of reparations and compensation for victims of political violence.
This must have been included and clearly spelled out so that people like us who have lost their beloved ones, their cattle and their homes during political violence, they will get our things back. And we should be compensated by the government. And it makes the bill a half-baked product.
Arnold Basera of Maswingo Simchekeseba added that the bill should be redone before it is passed in parliament, as it gives the Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs and the President powers that are not in the constitution.
Yeah, this bill, clause 3, states that members of the commission will serve a maximum of 2 terms. Of up to 5 years as determined by the president, meaning that the president may appoint them for less than 5 years at his discretion, which is contrary to the constitutional provision of section 320, which states that members of all commissions must be appointed for 5-year terms. The president cannot appoint them for shorter terms. There is need for us to recraft the bill to suit what the constitution wants.
Justice and Legal Parliamentary Affairs Committee member Mr. Innocent Gonese of the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, said the committee will present its findings to parliament without doctoring people's views.
Of course, we have got our own opinions, but at the end of the day, we stand guided by what the public would have said.
Human Rights NGO Forum Tinotenda Kambarami, who attended the hearing, said the committee should respect the views of the people.
The people have spoken. I think they've looked at it, and a lot are speaking against the minister. I think overall they've said that some of the clauses that are contained within the bill, one, either unconstitutional or they give the minister too much power.
The public hearings are being done in all the provinces before the bill is presented to parliament for approval. Parliament's legal committee has already condemned the bill, saying it contravenes some of the provisions of the country's constitution. Reporting for Studio 7 in Maswingo, I am Gandri Maramba.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 14th of April 1980 was a significant moment celebrated by millions of people, including the late great Bob Nesta Marley, on Independence Day in Harare. Because that's the only way we can overcome a little trouble. What are your thoughts of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp number, 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Zimbabweans took up arms to fight against colonialism, with the land question as a driving force for achieving black majority rule in the Southern African nation. Following a protracted liberation struggle, independence was achieved on April 18, 1980. Almost 36 years after independence, the land question still remains unresolved, with some Zimbabweans saying they were left out of the controversial agrarian reforms, which left over 3,500 white commercial farmers landless. On the other hand, some ZANU-PF activists are happy that they are owners of prime land in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo reports from Mutare.
Some of the people who were left out of the land reform program that kicked off in 2000, when the ruling ZANU-PF party felt the political heat from the then newly formed Movement for Democratic Change, say it is saddening that only the ruling elite and people connected to President Robert Mugabe's party were given pieces of land. One of them is Obias Msaigwa, a Mutare resident, who says he has over the years been sidelined from such programs due to political reasons.
We have not benefited anything from the land reform. Those who were connected to the party benefited, but as of us who are non-aligned, we would not get anything.
Lloyd Gumbo, a ZANU-PF youth based in the eastern border city in Manicaland province, agrees, claiming that this has been going on for almost 36 years.
That thing about economic empowerment and land reform program was just a theory to say so, in the sense that it meant to develop or to benefit all those people who were in the inner circle of the so-called ZANU-PF. But people like us, there's nothing like that. We just read about that, but then we didn't see it in practice.
Another Mutare resident, James Mfumi, who is a researcher with the Center for Research and Development, says the economic empowerment and land reform programs were noble schemes initiated by President Mugabe's government, though they have remained a pipe dream for many Zimbabweans.
Like any ordinary Zimbabweans, he's not managed to derive any benefit from such initiatives. As you may realize that these initiatives has been done mainly on party lines, and mostly those who are in the ruling party largely benefited. So me, I'm part of the majority of Zimbabweans who are yet to benefit from these government initiatives.
However, ZANU-PF activist and medical practitioner Bernadette Ndongwane says the ruling party brought a lot of opportunities to the marginalized black majority in the country. Charles Samurio, former spokesperson of the ZANU-PF Youth League in Manicaland, concurs, adding that he is also a beneficiary of the land reform and the black empowerment programs. However, he says more still needs to be done to include millions of Zimbabweans.
I am a proud beneficiary of the land reform program, a proud beneficiary of indigenization and economic empowerment, and I celebrate the motive and the goal and the inspiration behind the programs, not as programs enunciated by a united and envisioned ZANU-PF, right, to promote equity and equality and realization of liberation goals and ideals. And to me, their implementation, the realization and actualization of these programs are not a ZANU-PF achievement, but a Zimbabwean achievement done by a Zimbabwean.
Samuel's views were echoed by Tanaka Makwaza, a ZANU-PF youth, who says while he appreciates the empowerment programs spearheaded by his party, he is worried about the high levels of corruption within the former liberation movement.
As a citizen, as a youth as well, I can say we benefited like last minute for this land reform program. But actually, here in the province, we're having some challenges whereby these officers, they did not know what was fought for. As a citizen, we don't expect them to sell the land as they were doing to other people. But now we managed to strive just because, as you see, our president is always talking about us youth. So by him, that's when we managed to get a piece of land. But it's a challenge, because when you got a piece of land, they come, they send other people there, you know what I mean? Things are not fair at all. I'm sure if the government can work on that one.
Manicaland Provincial Affairs Minister Mandi Chimene says she's also a proud beneficiary of all government programs, as she now owns a farm and is grateful to President Mugabe. Thousands of blacks affiliated to the ruling elite are believed to be owners of pieces of land, with some of them having multiple farms. A landlord, it appears, to be resented by those in power, fearing that they may be exposed if an independent assessment of land ownership is conducted in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans living in South Africa urge the country to drop duty on foodstuffs.
Young people dismiss calls for the revival of the National Youth Program.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama is designating a historic house in Washington as a monument honoring the movement for women's equality in the country.
Police arrested more than 400 protesters who demonstrated at the U.S. Capitol in Washington Monday against the role of money in politics.
Nigeria's Boko Haram militants are making sharply increased use of children to carry out suicide bombings, according to the United Nations Children's Fund.
The International Monetary Fund says global economic growth has been too slow for too long, and that this disappointing growth could worsen.
And the music recording industry saw its first major sales boost in nearly 20 years, due in large part to the increasing popularity of online streaming websites, an industry trade group said today.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930 15455 shortwave frequency.
Some Zimbabweans in South Africa are reportedly seeking audience with the Zimbabwean embassy officials to ask their government to suspend customs duty on essential food commodities in the face of a crippling drought that has left thousands facing hunger. Travelers' rebate, also known as the duty-free allowance, is pegged at $300 and is granted on a few qualifying goods to a traveler once a month on first arrival in Zimbabwe. However, Southern Regional Spokesman Comfort Mochekeza of the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe tells Studio 7 that it will be impossible to totally remove the duty from some goods, but would make sense if it was reduced on basic foodstuff.
The challenge we have currently is that the business community, the local industry in Zimbabwe, they are crying foul. They are saying that the government has relaxed some of the laws that at times there are cheap imports which are coming into the country, and those cheap imports are taking away business from them. The government, in trying to address these issues, as of now, they have contracted company, Bureau Veritas. It's a French-based company which will look at the quality of goods which are coming into the country. Then the second issue which we are also pushing about is the issue of high taxes. To say when people are buying the very basic goods such as cooking oil, maize meal, sugar, flour, these very basic which are necessary for day-to-day living, we are saying the government, can it also be lenient on these issues and reduce the tax levels so that the goods become affordable?
But do you see a negative effect
of reducing or totally eliminating customs duty on food items brought into the country?
Yes, that could be negative, but not very much. If food is not available in the country, if we don't have maize meal in the country, there is no effect at all in doing away with duties. It will only be there if we say we've got company A which produces the same product and they are producing it at competitive prices and their products are of high quality. It will bring unfair competition. But the situation we have now, because of the drought effect and Zimbabwe being an agro-based economy, I don't see any effect in reducing the tax levels on imported products.
Is it possible to only remove duty on foodstuff?
Foodstuff, we're only talking them because they are basic. But at the end of the day, every consumer in Zimbabwe would want anything at affordable prices. And they want anything at competitive prices. While you see the government has a mandate of charging duties, we would want to see a situation where all the duties which are being charged are affordable. And they should also within the reaches of most of the consumers.
Comfort Muchekeza is the Southern Region spokesman of the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
Hello, all young people out there. I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage. We have a new, vibrant, energetic, inspirational segment. This is Time to Engage. We have hot topics for discussion, like life coaching, motivation, leadership, health, entrepreneurship. This also includes music, social media, and everything else you want to know. We will talk to various experts to help us with these discussions coming from Washington. Send a message to our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. Hashtag Time to Engage.
Don't miss that upcoming program here on Studio 7.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights has called on Parliament to investigate the disappearance of activist Itai Dzamara. Marking Dzamara's abduction 30 months ago at the weekend, the Lawyers for Human Rights expressed a grave concern that not much was being done by both the government and law enforcement agents to find Dzamara. It also condemned the previous disappearances of other activists, including Patrick Navanyama and Paul Chizuze. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights spokesman Kumbirai Mafunda says it's high time Parliament got involved.
We are actually appealing to Parliament to stop what some legislators are doing, walking out, trying to block the debate on Mr. Itai Dzamara, who remains disappeared 13 months after he was abducted. We feel that Parliament should treat this case seriously. This motion should be debated in Parliament. Resolutions should be passed in Parliament. We feel that Parliament is representative of the people, and we are appealing to those legislators who are filibustering and trying to block debate on this key issue. Mr. Itai Dzamara's rights must be respected, and his family's concerns rights must be respected too.
You are also citing the disappearance of Navanyama and Chizuze. Would you say the issue of enforced disappearances is becoming systematic in Zimbabwe?
You have actually said it, Ntunga. We are worried by these pervasive disappearances. This did not start with Mr. Itai Dzamara. So we have let this culture of impunity persist for a long period.
Kumbirai Mafunda is spokesman for the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. He was speaking with Studio 7's Ntunga Melinkomo from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard. And let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Today, we are discussing calls by war veterans to reinstate the controversial National Youth Service.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Some youth have dismissed call by war veterans for the reintroduction of the controversial National Youth Service program in Zimbabwe. The program, which started in the 1980s, dumped and then revived in 2001, has been viewed by most Zimbabweans as a breeding ground for violence instead of being a scheme for economic and social development. Stephen Sibanda, Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, Harare Provincial Coordinator, and Mavambo Kusile Don, Youth President, tells reporter Tatenda Gumbo the call to revive the youth program is senseless.
Senseless and pointless for the war veterans to ask for the recalling of the youth service. What for? Are we at war? Do we want a job? We don't want to be trained to be soldiers or you, whatever they call it. It's senseless, pointless, and it's of no use to me.
But they might say that this program is set to create nationalism amongst young people in Zimbabwe. Is that not how you see it?
You know, there's nothing good to celebrate about Zimbabwe. Only if Zimbabwe was a better place for us to live, we'd be talking about something else, you know, something different. We'll be celebrating that idea. But the fact that there's nothing good to celebrate our cause. So, to me, I don't say and I don't think it's a good idea.
You said earlier that instead of the National Youth Service, that the government should provide jobs.
Because all youth from ZANPF, from MDC, from Mavambo, from Wichita, they're jobless. They're educated. There's no job. So instead of spending more money on spending a big budget on youth services. Why can't they use that money to attract investors, to create investment, to create some jobs for us?
That was Stephen Sibanda, Youth Advocacy for Reform and Democracy, Harare Provincial Coordinator, and Mavambo Kusile Don, Youth President, speaking to Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts of The Connection will be talking with listeners and experts about calls for the revival of the feared and controversial National Youth Service. If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-465-0318. The number again, 001-202-465-0318.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Some war veterans who thrust President Robert Mugabe to the helm of ZANU have withdrawn their support for the Zimbabwean leader.
Some Zimbabweans have rejected the Peace and Reconciliation Commission bill.
And Zimbabwe's land question remains a hot issue 36 years after independence.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by yours truly, Chris Gandhi.
And our marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.